What goes on behind the scenes in Pacific politics and how does it affect us? Polytalk is back to unpack the big questions like, why is no one talking about PNG's political refugee crisis?
I can't even call it an election. It was something like a criminal tug war.
Join me, Scott Whitey, as I chat all things Pacific politics on Polytalk.
Search up Polytalk in your favorite podcast app to listen.
This is an ABC podcast.
The young people who may be perpetrators of cyber abuse really need to understand the consequences of their actions when they do these to other people.
Everybody deserves to express themselves freely, and I want the internet to be a free space for everyone to use without having the fear of being cyberbullied.
Sisters Let's Talk could not happen without the internet and social media. It connects us to women all over the Pacific in ways that would not have been possible a few short decades ago. But sisters, raise your hand if you've ever been bullied or harassed online. There is a dark side to the internet that puts people, particularly women and girls, at risk. From online bullying to sexploitation, cyber abuse to AI deepfakes, abuse of women online is rife. So how do we make the internet safer for women and girls? I'm Natasha Metten. Sisters, let's talk about cyber abuse. If you follow the amazing musicians coming out of Solomon Islands in the last decade, then you probably already know the talented Rosie Delma. She has been performing since she was just 6 years old, and she became a teenage singing sensation when her duet with Konkara singing a cover of Hello by Adele went viral. But fame has been a double-edged sword. Rosie has been experiencing cyberbullying and sexual harassment for several years. In 2025, explicit deepfake images of her and other female musicians from Solomon Islands were created and spread across the internet, causing her to bravely speak out.
It was really devastating for me, but see, this wasn't new to me. It's been happening to me since 2018, I guess. But then it really grew because I never spoke about it, and it really grew to a level that it really damages my mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I don't feel safe doing things, or I don't feel safe going out. I feel the feeling of the society. They don't see you as a person. Sometimes I feel that way. But from the image, it wasn't an image. It was like few images. And then it was a video, actually. They edited a video with my launching show. I did a launching for my EP, The Nijian Queen. And then that night, some of the people, they edited a video and then they put it with the show and, like, you know, make jokes about it. And then I got sexually harassed online. I got cyber bullied. I was body shamed as well. It was a really traumatizing moment for me, and I'm still dealing with all of this.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
And how did you find the courage to speak out about it?
I really didn't have the courage to speak up about it. I was locking myself inside the room and crying about it, and with the help of my friends and family, they actually stood up and speak for me, and they gave me the courage to speak up about it.
Were you able to get any support from police or Solomon Islands authorities?
No. That's the saddest part. it's really sad because a lot of women and young girls in my country, they're facing this on a daily basis, and nobody's doing anything about it. And most of the girls, they have reached out to me and they asked me to make a campaign against all of this. And I'm doing the best I can, but I'm only like one person. I'm just trying my best. But for the police or the authorities here to take action against it, I didn't really see anyone like doing anything.
Rosie, what about the apps used to target you? Did they offer any support at all?
No. I don't really get support from any of the app. The only support I'm getting is from my family and my friends and just, you know, words of encouragement. But for professional help, for professional support, so far I'm still looking for it.
What changes do you hope to see in how the industry and authorities handle these issues?
I really want media, especially in the Pacific region, I really want it to be a safe place for everyone, especially female artists or any female, to feel safe and free to be using all of this platform to express themselves freely without having the fear of being cyberbullied or sexually harassed online.
And how are you feeling now? How is your mental health?
Probably like 50-50. I'm still trying to figure things out, but I am doing well, slowly but surely.
You've decided to step back from the spotlight. I understand that. Is this because of the cyber abuse?
Yeah, it just triggered a lot of anxiety because this wasn't the first time for it to happen to me. It's been happening for a while and like it really triggered all of my emotions. So for my mental health, I'm just trying to not step back from the spotlight, but just to do it slowly. I think building it slowly.
You've been performing since you were just 6 years old, Rosie. Will you miss it?
Yeah, I don't know. Music has been a part of my life ever since I was young. Performing in a crowd, yeah, I think I will miss doing music for the crowd. But like for myself, I'm not stopping music. I'm still doing music. I'm just doing it really, really slowly. And like I'm just trying to make sure that the space that I use and the platform and everything, my words, my actions, it has like some kind of protection, and that I'm just making sure that things like this won't like really be affecting me. But as in for doing music and all this stuff, I'm not giving up on my dreams and my goals.
I'm glad to hear you're not stopping music altogether. How have your fans reacted to your online abuse?
Oh my goodness, my fans have been really supportive. They are the best. I just want to thank them so much for always encouraging me and standing up for me. And I'll be sure to post some more music just when the timing is right.
Rosie, you were one of a number of female singers in Solomon Islands who faced cyber abuse. Why do you think women in your industry were targeted?
That's a really hard question. I think it's because of the lack of protection and the opportunities, the beliefs, the practice, especially like in my country. Sometimes it's the competition for female and male artists is really like hard because it's just few female artists. And I think it's to like people that doing all the cyberbullying. I think one of the reason why they pick a lot of like most of the female artists is because the number is less. So like they think that it's better to go for the less number than the higher numbers because they think that we don't have the support that we need. And they feel like they have power over women.
And what message would you want to send to others facing similar online abuse?
If you're going through something like this, I think the best thing for you is to surround yourself with the right people and keep believing and working on your dreams. Don't let things like this to bring you down. Well, I think one of the advice my auntie told me was to, it takes a whole army to bring me down, but I'm just one person. So it's just showing that that's how much power you have and how much you believe in yourself. So I don't think you should stop doing what you love doing. Just surround yourself with the right people and just keep going.
Yeah. And that sounds like a song you could write about.
Yeah.
What is your message to the abusers and those who consume abusive content online?
I just want them to stop. Everybody deserves to express themselves freely. And I want the internet to be a free space for everyone to use without having the fear of being cyberbullied.
That's the wonderful Rosie Delma, and I hope, Rosie, you are all right. Let it be a lesson to us all that there is a human being on the receiving end of the bullying and harassment that some people call content.
You're listening to Sisters Let's Talk on ABC Radio Australia.
One of the problems with cyber abuse in Solomon Islands, and in fact across the Pacific, is that the laws simply aren't keeping up with the technology. As long as there are apps that can create deepfakes, follow people's movements, or simply send messages both publicly and privately, there will be people who abuse those apps.
We do have a national cyber policy. There is a gap in legislation currently.
That's Marina Rapasia, the Solomon Islands Country Coordinator with Child Fund Australia.
As a Solomon Islander, as a mother, I too worry. And while we're closing on the digital divide and increasing access to internet nationwide, especially in rural communities, I'm just feeling a little that we're not putting enough social safeguards in place to be able to prevent and protect our children and young people from the potential risks that are associated with online activity. I think there really needs to be legislation on this. There needs to be increased community awareness. And I guess having safeguarding protocols in place as well by our internet providers to ensure that, I guess, the safeguards are in place to protect our children and young people.
So while the laws in Solomon Islands aren't keeping up with technology, there is a program being run by Child Fund Australia and local Solomon Islands partners like Hope Trust to teach young people how to stay safe online so that maybe the next generation of online users will have a better experience than Rosie's. It's called Swipe Safe. It's both an app and a training program.
While young people were confident in their abilities online, and they were quite broadly aware of the risks associated, they did not always have the digital skills to protect themselves online. The program sought to balance the benefits, you know, of being online and the benefits of that, as well as the associated risks as well. It is developed by child protection experts with children and young people across the Asia and Pacific region, aiming to support system strengthening, community strengthening, and self-protective behaviors from children and young people as well.
The program's curriculum is aimed at 10 to 18-year-olds and is being rolled out in schools throughout Solomon Islands. But it's important that online skills are being taught to parents and caregivers, as well as children.
The parents and caregivers training that is also part of that curriculum supports parents and caregivers to be able to, I guess, provide the support that the children and the young people would need when they do face those online risks. There's also a professional or frontliners training that trains professions or those that, you know, who would be the first responders to support children and young people. This training is conducted for teachers, police, law enforcement officers, social welfare officers, and personnel of other CSOs who are working in the psychosocial and counseling spaces.
Kids can download the Swipe Safe app, which is like a gaming tool, which uses your own adventure-style programs. But the modules are teaching kids how to better understand and navigate harmful content online. So what are the risks to children when they're using the internet?
We talk about the benefits of the internet, and then we get the young people for them to identify the, I guess, the risks that they feel they are facing on the internet. So just from these trainings, we've heard, you know, that the risks that young people are facing here are cyberbullying, peer conflict, which sometimes, you know, starts online and then turns out offline and breaks into, you know, violent fights and that. We're also hearing that there's grooming happening as well for online sexual abuse. There's sexual extortion happening, live streaming of sexual abuse and violence, physical violence that happens, and also the exposure to violence, particularly around the online gaming platforms as well. So these are risks that the young people themselves have identified as potential risks for when they do come online. I guess these risks are even more concerning when we have, you know, we've got deep fakes and artificial intelligence-based tools as well. So yeah, with the, I guess, the presence of deep fakes, it really makes this very concerning.
Yeah. And how does Swipe Safe combat these risks?
We're training young people in schools, really emphasizing on their self-protective behaviors. So in the trainings, participants use the phones. We speak to them about, you know, safety features of various social media platforms that they can use when they do become uncomfortable, when they do feel that they're being cornered, and they can be aware that there are safety features in these various platforms and how to be able to use them. They learn this through the use of phones and being able to do that by themselves. They're also trained on the key concepts of the internet, how to be responsible online, and how they can also prevent and report or to serious online issues that they feel that they're experiencing. And so for the caregiver trainings too, as I mentioned before, the Swipe Safe program teaches parents and caregivers to be able to support the children when they do experience harm. So based on, I think, the research that was done prior to development of the project, the findings for caregivers and parents was that young people were very confident to use the internet, whereas the parents and caregivers reported that they had low levels of confidence in their ability to use the internet. They did not have the digital literacy skills to provide protection to their children. So the caregivers training was developed and designed to equip parents better understand the internet, how it works, the benefits that it has to young people, the potential risks for young people as well, using again the key concepts of the internet that we've also taught to the young people. We're just ensuring, you know, standard messaging across all the trainings. It also trains the parents and the caregivers on what they can do to support their children while they navigate the online space to ensure that they are safe. Examples of this could be, you know, teaching them safe searches, blocking and reporting, and, you know, very, I guess, the safety features that are also available to the social media platforms and other media platforms too. So the training also gives them a greater understanding of the serious online issues that young people could potentially face, you know, such as grooming, the online sexual abuse. It teaches them strategies to support their children to avoid online offenders and how they can support to responding to cyberbullying as well.
And with the trainings, do you ever simply teach parents to ban the internet?
So when training the young people and when asking them, you know, who do you go and seek support from? They do say parents and caregivers, but very reluctantly, because, you know, they would then ban their children from using the phones. But during the parents and caregivers training, we actually like to encourage that the internet is very useful to children. You know, it helps them with research and, you know, just keeping in contact with their friends, but they need to be able to do this safely. So during the trainings, it's that's emphasized and not really the banning of the phones. We know that some schools in Solomon Islands have banned phone usage and connecting to the internet through phone usage in schools, but they would find ways around this. There is always the children who will break that rule. So instead of encouraging a ban, where then we encourage the children to break the rules, it's more about making them recognize the benefits, but then being able to support the children to be able to access those benefits, but then doing it safely as well.
So who do children tend to reach out to if they feel at risk or uncomfortable online?
Some of the children have said that, you know, we reach out to our parents and caregivers when we're not feeling safe, but then very reluctantly saying as well that, but we're afraid that they would confiscate our phones as well and we won't be able to access the internet. So they also have mentioned that others that they can reach out to, or they've reached out to, is the members of the extended family, or whether they have older siblings. Some of them, that their teachers, these are the people that they have, the children and young people have said that they do reach out to and they feel comfortable to reach out to, and they trust them to support them. There's all through the trainings, there's encouragement to, you know, if you need to reach out to other service providers as well, when you're telling an adult, reach out to other service providers who offer that psychosocial support and counseling services as well. All throughout the training, we're encouraging them to talk to somebody. If you are feeling not comfortable about anything online, if you feel like, you know, there's people making you feel uncomfortable online and you feel that you want to take those protective strategies, but you need support with this, reach out to an adult, reach out to other services or any adult that you trust.
When a child reaches out to someone they trust, what should they do or what should they say?
We're really encouraging parents and caregivers who are participants to the training. We're encouraging them that when the young people and children do reach out to you, it's not a moment, I guess, to find fault, to blame them. It's about taking care of them. It's about providing advice to them, reaching out to external services if you have to, and if it's serious online child protection issues, then reach out to external services who may be trained to support you better. So really, yeah, I think that the training is really about not, I guess, punishing the child or the young person for experiencing this, that it's not their fault, that there are threats, that there are risks that come with being part of the online community. There are risks to this. And the training with caregivers really does hone in on those risks and being able to make parents really aware of the risks that are present with online activity. And then also how they can to better support and take care of their children without jumping to conclusions and banning them from using the internet.
Marina, how do you talk to young people who might be perpetrators of things such as cyberbullying or asking other underage people for nudes?
Throughout the sessions, young people, they reflect on themselves. They reflect on their online behavior. I guess also the training emphasizes the responsibility of being online, using practical scenarios for discussion and there's activities where, you know, you actually get a disrespectful, inappropriate comment or a post, and getting them to reword it so that they feel that this is how it should be for it to be respectable to others online. What I think is that the realization for, I guess, the actions of young people really needs to come from the young people themselves. And I think through SwipeSafe, we are helping them understand this. Sometimes, I guess, with the digital illiteracy, if I may call that, or just not being aware, is sometimes what makes young people do what they do without realizing the consequences to other people and without fully understanding what the harm that their actions are causing. Yeah. The internet is a new space. Some of us some of the young people are going online and seeing what others are doing. So sometimes I think there is a lack of knowledge and awareness just about being that online citizen and, I guess, having that respectful attitude towards other people. As part of the training too, we talk about the different powers that there are and that power within you can be used to do something good. It can be used to do something bad. And if you're going to be taking action, then you're using that power within you. But would you like that power within you to do good or to do bad? So it's getting them to understand and really wanting them to be able to make those decisions because of the understanding that they've gained from the trainings. So during the trainings, there are, you know, as we're finishing the trainings, you have children who also realize that, oh, like my post this, I think it was very inappropriate and I shouldn't have done it. So yeah, I think we're trying to do that through the SwipeSafe training, but really the young people who may be perpetrators of cyber abuse really need to understand the consequences of their actions when they do these to other people online.
Could a program like SwipeSafe be extended to include all members of society, adults too, so everyone can learn to be a good online citizen?
Yes. I think it does have the potential. There are existing curriculums that we're not currently implementing. We'll start doing this next year, but that part of the curriculum targets the community leaders, the chiefs, the church leaders, the church youth leaders or community youth leaders, being able to, I guess, include this in, you know, the churches can include it in their messaging. Community leaders can also include this in their messaging. So there is that part of the curriculum that's soon to roll out as well. We're getting a lot of interest by the public. So just talking to, I guess, caregivers who are not part of the program, but, you know, parents in Solomon Islands, in Honiara, there is a lot of interest and, you know, asking about, so where are you doing programming? Can you come? Can you help us to do this in our church? Can you help us to do this to our youth group, to our community? Can you run awarenesses? There is a lot of interest by the community and there is potential for the program to be expanded.
That's Marina Rapasia from Child Fund Australia in Solomon Islands. Thank you to my guests today, Marina Rapasia and the very brave Rosie Delma. I hope our conversations have opened your eyes to the challenges women and children face online and remind you that you can always speak to someone if you need support. Sisters Let's Talk is presented by me, Natasha Metten. Our supervising producer is Kim Lester. Our executive producer is Faleanga Fulu Inga Stunzna. Sisters Let's Talk is an ABC Radio Australia production. We acknowledge the Yagara, Turrbal and Darumbal peoples on whose land this program is produced. I'm Tasol, na lukimu next time.